Thank the sponsors. Is it on? Fancy technology. Press on. I want to thank the sponsors. Just throughout all of this year, David Adelson has been sponsoring this year. Le'ilu Nishmas is Chashuv, her father. We all miss her. Rabbi Shlomi Yehuda Aryeh, Ben Harav, Ben Yonah David, Zechon Levracha, Nishom Shachar Aliyah. Jay Gelman is sponsoring in the Schusser for Shlomo, a very special woman who I know for many, many years. Moshe Shapov's mother, Chana Basleya, is a Refuah, Shem B'Sol Shachar Chol Yisrael. And Hanan and Shira Averbach, Le'ilui Nishmas, Shira's grandmother, who was Nifter Friday night. Her name is Aliza. We don't have her father's name, Aliza Basrus. All of us shall only be able to celebrate Simchas together at Meir Vesem Shem.
Amen.
The page that you have has on one side the Minchas Chinuch, and on the other side has really what the page that you got last time. But I have learned over the years that it's hard to retrieve pages after they've been given one time, that they don't necessarily reappear, especially since there's been a big break since the last year. So I decided I'd just photostat it again. Because we're up to note 16, Maor Mokum 16. But let me just be Misakim. Even if you weren't here the first year, I'll just be Misakim in 1 minute, where we're up to, where we're holding. We have a lot to do in Mitzvah over the course of the year. Shemitah year is 1 year. Well, it extends. We have at least until Hakel till after Sukkot to work on it. We're going to be spending quite a few shiurim on the Indian of the Hetam Bechira that many people thinking about and talking about and worried about and so on. But without knowing all the background of Hilchas Shemitah or the significant sugis in Hilchas Shemitah, you really can't understand what's the argument about, what's going on with this Hetam Bechira, and everybody just becomes political. Like, this my Heksha versus your Heksha. That's not what it's about. You have to understand the sugya. I mean, that goes on also. We're Jews. That happens also. But that's not what it's about. We need to understand the depth of the sugya. The entire Torah of Shemitah goes back to the definition of the two words that we were working on last time. When the Torah says, Vashviz Tishmetena Unitashta. That's what we're talking about. Those two words. Tishmetena. What does the word Shemitah mean? Tishmetena Unitashta. Tishmetena Unitashta. Shemitah and Netisha. Kilo Yitosh Hashem Amosh. Vashviz Tishmetena Unetashta, and we went through actually some material in Tanakh. We went through Tanakh to try to understand the word Shamot, Shemitah. And what it seems is that from all of the Maor Mekaymes, the definition of Shamot is to pull one's hand back. Shamot, to hold back, to withdraw. That's the meaning of Shemitah. Unetashta means to, like, Hilo Yitosh Hashem means to forsake. Hashem will not forsake his people. So when the Torah says, Vahashviz Tishmetena, that we have to hold back, withdraw from planting, from tending to the field, Vahashviz Tishmetena, Unetashta means something much stronger. There, Unetashta implies to be mafkir, that we have to be mafkir everything. We have to, not only that we don't proactively tend to the field, but we actually have to be mafkir, we have to make it hefker. Unetashta, we have to abandon it. The word netisha means abandonment. So we learned at the end last time, that when the Torah says v'sheish shanim tizra es artzecha v'asafta es tfuasa, now sheish shanim tizra es adacha, during the regular 6 years of the cycle, plant sheish shanim tizra es adacha v'asafta es tfuasa, and gather the produce, gather the wheat, whatever you're gathering. Vahashvi is Tishmetena Unetashta, corresponds, the seif of the pasuk corresponds, explains the reish of the pasuk, or tells us what are the consequences of the reisha. So when it says Visheshnam Tizra, 6 years you plant, then we have what? Tishmetena. Tishmetena says, hold back. You can't plant. So that part of the pasuk goes to that, to the reisha, to the seifa. Then V'asafta es tvuasa, gather the tvua, gather the tvua. That corresponds to unetashta. You're not allowed to gather it. You have to be mafkir it. You have to forsake it. You have to abandon it. That's how the pasuk works. And the whole yisod of Shemitah is really encapsulated in that one pasuk. Obviously, there's a lot more to understand. Look at 16. That's the mechilta on the second side, not the mechitzchenech side, the second side, where you have all this stuff. 16, on the bottom where you see the arrow, it's underlined, Vashvi is Tishmetena. Okay, this is the mechilta, the Rebbe Yishmael. Vashvi is Tishmetena Natashto, Tishmetena Bavodasa. Rashi brings us down in Chumash. Tishmetena Bavodasa. That means you have to hold back from working. You don't work the fields. Unetashto ba'achilasa. Now, what does that mean exactly? Unetashto, you shall, again, abandon it. Ba'achilasa. What does that mean? Ve'ini ele peiros hasov minayin tamalayim unetashto mikol mokum. Okay, we're not going to go into that right now. Dav'acher. This is the most important thing. Dav'acher. Va'ashviz tishmeten unetashto. Ma amra toira lo sheyochlo osa aniyim. A person is looking at the mitzvah of Shemitah, and he'll say, well, why did the Torah give this this mitzvah of Shemitah? Lo sheyochlo osa aniyim. Isn't it because the Torah is concerned that poor people should have what to eat? Isn't that the reason? Lo sheyochlo osa aniyim. Hare ani machnisa, you have to go down underneath the computer stuff. Hare ani machnisa umachalkal aniyim. So this person says, you know what? I'm going to make it easier for the poor people. I'm going to go out to the fields, I'll have my guys, and we'll take care of all the stuff, we'll cut it, we'll take care of all the stuff, and I'm going to bring it in to the silo or to the house, and I'll bring it in, and I'll distribute it to the aniyim. I'll be better than the Torah. I'll bring it, that must be what the Torah wants, that the poor people should have to eat. So I'm going to take care, I'll cut everything, and I'm going to bring it into the house, or into the silo, whatever, and I'll distribute to the aniyim. Talmud Loimer, you can't do that. Talmud Loimer, v'hashviz tishmetana unetashta. It's not enough tishmetana. In other words, that you don't plant and you don't do all that stuff. It's not enough. V'hashviz tishmetana unetashta magid sheporeitz ba protzos. Now this is very, very important. Chazal is going to be in all the discussions coming up. Magid sheporeitz ba protzos. Porez ba protzos means that the Torah is telling us that we have to tear down the fences. Porez ba protzos, to make holes. We have to open up the walls, the gates to the farm. Porez ba protzos. Hefka. You have to, not that you take it in to your home and then you make hours and you say the oilim can come and the poor people, everybody's welcome to come, distribution hours from 2 to 4. No. Poritz ba protzos means you have to break down the fence. You have to tear down the fence of your field, open it up, and the oilim unetashta means it's abandoned. Everybody comes in whenever they want. That sounds like that's the requirement of the Torah. The Mechilta is defining the requirement of the Torah. Pritzus, abandonment, open. First come, first serve. It's not like other matnas aniyim. Other matnas aniyim, you take care of your field, you guard your field, your walls are up, everything, you're allowed to have a shomer watching your field, and you take the proper time that's required for you to take care of Leket Shikha and Peya, Trumas and Maisus, and then you could make hours and you distribute, you give it out. At your convenience, you give it out. Masha'en Kain, the Torah seems to be saying when it comes to Shemitah, Paritz, Ba'protzois, You have to take down the fences. But then look how it ends, the Mechilta. Ela shegodru chachamim b'pnei tikkun ha'olam. Ela shegodru chachamim b'pnei tikkun ha'olam. However, even though midaraisa, again the simple pshat in the Mechilta, even though midaraisa, the requirement is to open up the, to open up your property to anybody, paritz b'protzos. However, Godru Chachamim Mipnei Tikkun Ha'olam. Chazal, the Chachamim, made a gether. Here literally could mean a gether. Could mean literally a fence. That they made a gether. Ela Shegodru Chachamim Mipnei Tikkun Ha'olam. That a Tikkun Chazal was made because of Tikkun Ha'olam. In other words, Midaraisa, the meaning of Unutashta is complete Hefkeris, not to gather at all anything, and not to distribute anything to the aniyim, but to break down the walls that are surrounding the field in order to allow anybody to come in whenever they want. But Chazal saw that this could cause a tremendous takola, a loss of property, or even perhaps life, because if there are no walls, if there are no gates, first of all, then goyim would be able to come in. And even if it's not goyim, then what about soichrim? Chazal were concerned that greedy merchants will come in, and will help themselves to the fruit. The poor people who are going to be pushed aside, goyim and sochrim are going to come there and do whatever they want. So mibnei tikkun ha'olam, the Chazal not only permitted, but it seems that mibnei tikkun ha'olam, Chazal instructed us to preserve the walls, the gates of the field. Now, according to this, it would seem that according to the Takanas Chazal, that Chazal have come along and have made the seventh year like the other 6 years. Essentially, what they seem to be saying is that the field is closed. The field is closed. The gates are locked, and. Perhaps there are hours of distribution like there would be for other matnas aniyim. And in that way, it would seem that the whole meaning of unetashta has been neutralized by Chazal. Again, netashta means hefke. Everybody's in, whenever they want. They tikkun ha'olam, they say no. So it seems that the whole point of unetashta has been neutralized by Chazal because of the tikkun ha'olam, that people are going to people's property and perhaps even their lives will be endangered. And they tikkun ha'olam, they said no. So it's kilu. We don't have this unetashta. Shmita, yes, don't plant, don't plow, all of that stuff. But as far as the second part of the pasuk, unetashta, to abandon everything, to leave everything open, it seems that Chazal made a takana not to do that. It's not so posh. Look at the Rambam. 17 is the Rambam. Mitzvahs asay lahashmid kol mashatoytzi ha'aretz b'shviyas. It's a mitzvah asay midereisa to be mashmid, to stop tending to the fields. Kol mashatoytzi ha'aretz b'shviyas, whatever the field produces by shmita. Shnemar v'hashviyas tishmitena unetashta. Now the Rambam says, V'chol ha'noel karmo, anybody who locks his vineyard, kol ha'noel karmo, osog sadeyu, or puts a fence around his field. Sog is like siag, right? Osog sadeyu b'shviz, bitel mitzvah sase. He's mevatel the mitzvah sase. So far, what does it sound like, Rabbi? It sounds like the Rambam, he seems to be ignoring the tikkun ha'olam. The Rambam seems to be going ahead with the mitzvahs asei midereisa of unetashta, and anybody who locks the door, or anybody who fences in the field is not poritz bo pratzos, is mevatel the mitzvah shmita. So the Rambam sounds like he's going straight ahead with the deraisa, and unetashta means literally unetashta, to abandon. V'cheinim osaf kol perosu l'soch beso. And this includes this person would also be mevatel the mitzvah aseh, somebody who gathered all of the fruit and brought it into his home. The Rambam says you're not allowed to do that. Unatashta doesn't mean that you gather the stuff and bring it into your house and you open up your home. Ella, yafkir hakol. You mafkir everything. Yafkir hakol, v'yad hakol shoven b'chol mokum. And anybody who wants to, yad hakol shoven b'chol mokum. Everybody's equal. B'chol mokum. Shnemar v'ochlu evyonei amecha. Of course, Yeshua will have you talk based on Ma'at, you'll have to bring a little bit into your house, because there's some Mavim and you know less than any other person, and we're going to learn those halachas that you could bring in, of course, for your own family to eat. Also, you could bring, you're allowed to take also Menahefka to take care of your family. But as far as the mitzvah of Unetasht is concerned, it seems that the Rambam is not Goyres, the Tikkun Ha'olam of Chazal. It seems that the Rambam is learning Unetashta, literally, that it means hefkeris, and anybody that wants to can come. It's hard to say that. How could the Rambam ignore the Tikkun HaOlam? What does that mean? The Rambam just talks about the Deraisa. He doesn't even mention a word about the Tikkun HaOlam. So the Rishon did not understand the Rambam this way. Even though the words look to us like this, it can't be. So look at the Ramban, 18. The Chayma Tayrish Lahi Adam Shoyme Sadeyu. The Chayma Tayrmi Daraisa Shalo Yehe Adam Shoyme Sadeyu. You are not allowed to guard your field on Shemitah. The Noel Bifnei Aniyim Bishviz. And you're not allowed to lock the gates to prevent poor people from coming. And even if you want to just to make it hefker at the time while you're gathering it, you're not allowed to do that either. To work there and gather it and say it and put up a sign and say hefker. Unetashta means abandoned. Eli yehei asoda kol hashana mizuman umufkar la'aniyim. The Torah tells us that the whole year the field must be Mizuman umufkar la'aniyim. Hefker for the poor people. Mizuman means whenever they want. Kach shana b'mechilta. And that is what it says in the mechilta. V'ochlu evyoyne ha'mecha, that the poor people shall have what to eat. They'll eat. V'chim ibnei ma'amra ta'ira, he brings the mechilta that we saw a minute ago. V'chim ibnei ma'amra ta'ira lo shi'ochlu osa aniyim hareyani machniso mechalkal aniyim. Isn't it that the Torah wants us to take care of poor people? So I'll have my field guarded. I will not allow people in. I will take care of the poor people personally. I will take care and make sure that they have what to eat. And I'll bring it to my house. And I'll distribute to the poor people. Talmud loy mevashviyis tishmetanu unetashto. Magid shuk peretz baprotzis. That's the mechilta. Magid shuk peretz baprotzis. The Torah says it has to be hefker. Wide open. Now he explains. Look how the Ramban explains the Tikkun HaOlam. Elisha godru chachom b'nei Tikkun HaOlam. The Hageder Shagodru Chachamim, look how he explains. What is this Geder? The Mechilta doesn't tell us. What is the Geder? The impression you can get from the Geder, from just reading the Mechilta, is that it becomes like the other 6 years, that you just have a guard and you have closed, locked gates, and it's not Hefker. The Ramban says that's not the Tikkun HaOlam. That's not the Takana. The Hageder Shagodru Chachamim, Shlo Yifutsu Protos Besoda Ubekerem. You do not tear down your fences by the fields or the vineyards. You don't open everything wide up. But it also does not mean the other extreme, what? That you guard your field, or that you bring the fruit, the stuff into your house, and that it shouldn't be outdoors for people to take. And not only that, the gzeira means you're not even allowed to take pears from the mishum. You're not allowed to guard the field, and you're not allowed to take fruit if you did such a thing. We're going to talk about that in Mitzvah later on. So what the Ramban is saying is the following:
The Ramban is telling us that the
Daraisa is complete and total abandonment. The Daraisa says, Paris Baprotzos. You open up the gates of your field wide. You take away the walls. And it's absolutely hefker. The Ramban explains that Tikkun HaOlam is not to lock the gates. But it's also, the Tikkun HaOlam says, do not tear down the gates. Do not tear down the walls. Do not give the impression of complete and total hefkeres. Do not give that impression of complete and total hefkeres. So on the one hand, you're not allowed to lock the gates, and you can't appoint a shomer. You can't do that. On the other hand, the tikkun of Chazal, who are concerned that in the end, the poor people are going to be deprived of eating because all kinds of greedy sachrim, merchants, thugs, goyim, are going to come there. So on the other hand, you are allowed to have, I guess we would call it now, minimum security. Minimum security, that's what the Rabban is saying. Now, there are other Rishonim who explain it as well, this way. I didn't focus that for you, but the Mari Korkis says the following. Ela shegodru chacham b'nei tikkun ha'olam, peyru shegodru shelo yifrotz odom protzos b'sadeyu. Do not tear down the fences on the walls. Ela vadai hagodru sadeyu over hu umavatel mitzvah asay, afim daitel hafkir macharkach. He says, but vadai, it also means that you cannot lock the fields. So what the Mari Korkis and the Rabban is saying is, keep the fences up, keep the walls up, but the gate has to be unlocked. People have to be able to go in. So that is the tikkun of Chazal. Not paris baprotzos. Midaraisa unetashta means total abandonment. Total abandonment means you have to open everything up wide. The tikkun ha'olam, Chazal came along and said, no, that's too much. That's too much. And apparently people were taking advantage, and poor people were losing out. So the tikkun of Chazal is not to lock the gates. It's not to be like the other 6 years. It's not to take the fruit into your house and distribute it at certain times. It's to just unlock the door, to keep it unlocked. Let me just explain for a second. To keep it unlocked. Therefore, according to this, when the Rambam says, what does the Rambam do with the Tikkun HaOlam? What does the Rambam do with the Tikkun HaOlam? So the Rambam apparently learns that this takana b'nei tikkun olam is not according to the simple pshat in the Mechilta, but rather it must be that the Rambam, this is the way the Achronim explain, that the Rambam is learning like the Ramban and the Mahari Korkas, that tikkun ha'olam does not mean shutting the field down, making the field like the other regular 6 years. That's not what it means. But mi'idach, on the other hand, The tikkun olam is not to allow the bailim, is not to give permission to the bailim to collect the fruits and so on and to distribute the fruits in that way. Tikkun olam means that you are not porates protzos, like the Torah says, to leave it wide open. Ava mi'idach, on the other hand, you are not allowed to lock the door of the field, and you're not allowed to gather the fruits to bring them into the house for the purpose of distribution, to me like the other 6 years. So now the question is, and I'll get to you in a second, Yakime, the question is, so if the Tikkun HaOlam, it seems that the whole point of the Tikkun HaOlam is to make it a little bit more of an Edla Maisa. Like, Midaraisa, it's the Wild West. Right? Midaraisa is the Wild West. Unetashta, the Pshat means wild. Wild. And people coming and screaming and with blowing horns and whistling, coming with their horses and their vans and their pickup trucks, right? Like crazy. Mom should be coming in. Paris bar process. And Chazal came with a takana, and Chazal said, no, that's going to cause a terrible kilkul. In the end, it's going to hurt the poor people. It's not going to accomplish anything. That's going to cause a terrible kilkul. So the Tikkun HaOlam is an edle Shemitah, a more delicate, a more refined Shemitah. So the Achronim explain, what's the point? In other words, if the door has to be unlocked, so why can't the pickup truck, if the door is unlocked, everybody knows, it's not a secret. This is public information. So, all the fields are listed, everything's online, and everybody knows that the doors have to all be unlocked. And that the walls, you have to have access to get in, and the gates by the walls, you have to be able to open. So the way the Achronim explain this is, that Chazal believed that the tzura, that if the tzura of Hafkeris, if the image of Hafkeris is modified, if the walls are not down, if the fences are not down, that the nature of the human being, there are always exceptions, but the nature of the average human being is that it will create more of a feeling of restraint and of respect, that the gates are still there, the walls are still up, the doors are open, but you come to a door, you come to a gate, and you open up the door, you open up the gate. This is still not at all like the regular 6 years, or for instance, the mitzvah of peah, to leave a corner of your field. Whenever we're talking about matnos aniyim, the other gifts that the Torah requires to be given to poor people, leket shikha and peah, there we're talking about a situation where the Bailam has complete rishus to lock his field and to have shomrim stand by the field. When it comes to all the other matnos aniyim, those are matnos aniyim. It's up to the Bailam to decide when he wants to give it out. As long as he does what the Torah requires with his field and he makes it available to the poor people, he's fine. But he's still allowed to exercise his bailus over the field by locking the gates completely, by locking the doors, and by hiring shomrim. He could do that. That's when we're talking about matnos aniyim. Shemitah, you can't do that. Shemitah doesn't make. There's no tikkun chazal that you could hire guards and you could close the place up. That can't be. The Torah says unetashta. Netashta means abandonment. So what's the tikkun chazal? Chazal didn't come along and equate Shemitah to Peah. Chazal didn't take away the mitzvah of Shemitah. It says in the Torah unetashta. What they did was they modified and softened the inyan of unetashta. Then instead of uporis baprotzos, taking down the fences are up. You could even have people walking around, guiding people, showing people. Again, the Achronim all talk about this. There could be a presence of Bailam, but they can't lock the door. They can't lock the door. But they can have, the Bailam can stand there, and there can be not a shmir to keep people out, but they can create a sense of order as opposed to a sense of hafkeiros, a feeling of hafkeiros. The hope, through that, would be that by doing that, you are going to prevent vandalism. That's what we're talking about, vandalism. That by having the doors unlocked, you're able to still abide by the law of the Torah, to be mafkir the fields of unutashta, but by not tearing down the fences and the walls, you are preventing vandalism. Because when the lights are out, and the walls are down, and the fences are broken, so then it's going to be crazy. Then the chayis, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be crazy. I don't want to say it. Monty. Okay. Then it's going to get crazy. So by keeping the walls up and keeping the fences intact and by having Bailam, having their people walking around and greeting people and welcoming them in, that's fine. It's still unetashta because it's hefker and you're not allowed to lock the gate and you're not allowed to collect basaftis tvuasa. You're not allowed to collect the payers of Shemitah and bring it into your house, or to put it into a warehouse for distribution? Absolutely not. You're not allowed to do that. Trumas Meisters, but not Shemitah, you can't do that. In this way, Chazal preserved the mitzvah of Unetashta, and we're hoping to prevent vandalism. The Tikkun Olam is to prevent vandalism, and by creating some Seder, we all know that the mentality of Rishoyim is that when something appears to be ownerless, when it looks like it's hefker, that's when vandals take advantage. If a place looks mesuder and everything is intact and the way that it usually looks, so that will hopefully be a deterrent to vandalism. That's the tikkun chazal, to prevent vandalism, not to change the mitzvah of Shemitah. So that's how the Achronim all learn pshat in the Rambam, even though it's hard to see in the words. The Rambam doesn't talk about the tikkun ha'olam. When he says, Ele yafker ha'kol v'yad ha'kol shoven, they explain that he's not ignoring the Tikkun Chazal, the Tikkun Ha'olam. He says, when he writes, V'chol ha'no el karmo, osog sadeu. You can't lock the field, but you don't have to be paritz b'protzos. You're not paritz b'protzos. You're just not allowed to lock it. You have to leave it unlocked. Yaakov Meir.
Can you selectively prevent people from coming in out of concern for Tikkun Ha'olam?
In other words, let's say you see. First of all, you definitely we're going to learn in Mishnah these halachas. If you see an undesirable character, or if there's somebody that you don't want, a guy comes, or somebody that you know is a wealthy person. He's wealthy, so when you come in here, it's not so pushed to prevent him, to actively stop him from coming. Even though the Torah says v'achlu evyonei amecha, that it's for the poor people, primarily it's for the poor people, you can't stand there asking the guys, what do you, you know, I want to see your papers, what's your tax, you know, what are your tax returns for 2014 or something. You can't do that either. We're going to see how it works. So essentially, if a wealthy person is a chazan and he wants to go there, it's going to be very hard to stop him. Even according to the Tikkun Olam, you're not going to be able to stop him. If there's somebody who seems to be a ganav, a gazlan, or a goy, so that's something else. We'll Mitzvah will learn more about that, how that works. Yeah. Okay.
If you were trying to put a sense of order, why not have the basin take over the field? I mean, if you're really worried about a sense of order, then...
It seems that Chazal wanted each and every Jew, every owner, to be Mekayem the Mitzvah of Shemitah, and to be trusted with that responsibility of Mekayem the Mitzvah of Shemitah. We'll see how Chazal engaged Bezdin in handling Shemitah matters. Because you are right.
Look what we're doing this year with
Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Bezdin had to become involved, yes. Because things became big and got out of control. But ideally, the Torah wanted, and Chazal wanted, that the individual farmer should be Mekayem this mitzvah himself, Belev Tov V'Shalom. Not to have to use Bezdin, but over time it became unmanageable and Bezdin had to be called in, and we're going to get to that in Mitzvah, how Bezdin was called in to help. All right, we'll get to that. Now, what we're going to begin now is probably the most basic chakira in all of the laws of Shemitah, and with this chakira we're going to be able to enter into a discussion of the whole issue of Heter Mechira. Of the Heter Mechira, which is famous in Rav Kook's name, it's ridiculous. Rav Kook didn't come up with it. Rav Kook wasn't the first one. They like to use Rav Kook. The Misnagdim to Rav Kook like to use Rav Kook because then they don't feel as nervous as because they think that they could attack Rav Kook, but they're not going to attack Rav Shmuel Salant. They're not going to attack the Nitziv and people like that. So it's much more convenient to use Rav Kook. And as it happens, Rav Kook's whole Heter Mechira was very, very, very conservative. We'll see. It was very conservative with the Heter Mechira, and from Rav Kook, it was only during a specific time. It was very limited. It's not the way that it's being presented. But we'll get to that. This Chakira goes to the very core of what the nature of Shemitah is. The question is as follows. What exactly creates Shemitah? What is it that creates Shemitah? Is it Shemitah's Ha'adam? In other words, is it because the person removes himself, removes his ownership from the field, that creates the Heter for anybody to come there? It's Shemitah's Ha'adam, the person is the one who creates Shemitah. Or do we say no? It's Shemitah's Hakarka, which means Shemitah's Ha'olam, that automatically, once Rosh Hashanah kicks in, of the seventh year, it happens on its own. It goes to auto. Is it the person who chooses Lishmait Vilintosh, his field, that creates that reality of Shabbos Ha'aretz, of the Shabbos Ha'aretz, the Shabbos of the land? Because he's mafkir his field, he's mafkir his peros, that the field is now hefker, and it's open for everybody to come there? Or perhaps we say, we don't give a hoot what the guy is doing. We couldn't care less what he says. We couldn't care less of what he feels. We're not interested whether he's religious or he's not religious. There's a reality that descends upon Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. And that reality is that the karka, the land, is shoves me'eleha. It rests. The Torah says, v'shov saha'aretz. My mitzvah of Shemitah, therefore, according to the second way, that it's something that just happens, it's the reality of Eretz Yisrael in the seventh year, my personal mitzvah would be just to adjust my reality to that which already exists, to adjust my way of thinking, my way of behaving, my way of acting, my personal level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, to adjust it to the Ratzon of the Torah and to the will of the Torah and to the reality that's taking place regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel. And therefore, even if I'm not, I'm going to talk about all the nafkamines, we'll talk about the nafkamines. And therefore, even if I'm not mafkir, I stand there with a sign protesting with a shotgun. And I'm sure there are Israelis that do that. I'm standing there with a shotgun. And anybody comes in here is at the risk of his own life. You're not allowed to come over here. And he says, Lo Hefker. Like, you know, you always had in every yeshiva, you had guys that they always put in their sefer. You know, like the nice guys in the yeshiva always put in it. If you're taking my, it belongs to Lashem Haaretz and Loa, obviously. And then it says, Rishus, the property of Chaim Yankel Ben Ber, and Osir Litol Bli Rishus, you know, like that. Yeah, that guy. There was a couple of guys like that in yeshiva. Also, the only thing I'm missing is they don't put like a skeleton with a, you know. Osir Litol Bli Rishus. So you can have a guy that stands there by Shemitah and he says, no way, I don't believe in this stuff, this is ridiculous, and I worked the last 6 years to build up my business, this is not Hefke. If we say that the din of Shemitah is an alteration, a transformation that takes place in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, is mafkir your field, there's nothing you do about that. I mean, you'll keep people awake because they don't want to get shot. But as far as whether this field is hefker, it's hefker. The Torah makes it hefker. It's not you. Or do we say that no? The Torah said you're a baal bechira, like with all of the mitzvahs, you're a baal bechira, and the Torah is telling you there's a mitzvah hasayim deraisa of Hashmiyas Tishmetenu Natashta, and the Torah is kindly asking you to use your Bechira in a good way, and to do what you're supposed to be a good boy, and to be mafka the fields, where you're supposed to adjust your life to the reality, to do the best to the reality of what it says in Chumash, to try to do the best you can to be Mekayem the Mitzvah. The language, the terminology that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, the terminology we find in the Achronim, which goes back to the Gemara we'll talk about in a second. The question is the Hefker of Shviz, is it Afkaita de Malka, or is it Kakafta de Gavra? We'll see the Mechizchich in a minute. Is it Afkaita de Malka, is it the king, Hashem? Is Mafkia, removes your Bailus, he removes your ownership, he takes away your ownership on Shemitah. Afkaita de Malka. Lafkia. He removes your bailus. Is it Afkaita de Malka that Hashem removes your bailus by Shemitah? Or do we say it's Karkafta de Gavra? It's the Achrayas. Karkafta means the Achrayas of the Gavra, of the person. Afkaita de Malka or Karkafta de Gavra? Am I saying?
It means
the produce. The produce, right.
But you can still build a shed over.
Absolutely. Yeah. It means over the produce. Okay. To be more, you're right, to be clearer, it means the produce. So this is the number one chakira in all of Hilchot Shemitah. Is it Afkaita de Malka or Kakafta de Gavra? I'll just throw out one nafkimina offhand. We'll get to this. Which has a lot to do with Hatem Mechira. I'll throw out one nafkimina. Is there a requirement to take off Trumas and Maisvis from the produce of your field by Shemitah? That's one nafkimina. If it's Afkaita de Malka, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mafkia the Bailus altogether, and of the produce, is Mafkia the whole Bailus, then I have nothing. Shviz Tishmetanu Natashta means I just sit back in my chair and I remove myself completely. It's Ke'ilu, I don't have a Shaychus to this. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mafke this. It's Hefke Minei Ubei Me'eleha. on its own. There's no din of Trumas and Maisus by Hefker. It's finished. It's not mine. It's not at all. If it's a kaf, if it's a kafta de gavra, and you have a person that says, I'm not doing the Shemitah thing. I'm not going to do that. I'm not opening up my door. I'm not unlocking my door. Trumas and Maisus, I do that all the time. I'll continue with Trumas and Maisus, but I'm not unlocking my door. Is there a din of Trumas and Maisus? In other words, this guy says, I'm not keeping Shemitah. In other words, I'm not mafkir my field. If you're not mafkir your field, if you're the bailim of your field, then you're chayiv in Trumas and Maisus. If you're not mafkir the field, then you're chayiv in Trumas and Maisus.
And whoever takes from there is a ganif.
Yes, and that's the other nafkir minute. Whoever would take from that would be a ganif. Chaim Yitzchak is right. We'll talk about that. If you say it's afkaita the malka, general amnesty. Nobody's a ganif. If the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I'm mafkir Eretz Yisrael, me. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, Lashem ha'aretz umloa. That's really the truth. Lashem ha'aretz umloa, I'm mafkir. I don't care what you think. I'm mafkir all of Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, then nobody's a ganif. Anybody that comes can't be a ganif. If it's a kafta de gavra, if it's a din of the person, and he says, I'm not shemesh mita. I'm not religious. I'm not Indian. I'm not shemesh shmita. And he has his field locked, and somebody climbs in and they take from his field. So l'chayri could take him to Bezni. He's a ganif. The guy's a ganif. It's not Hefker. Hefker's my Indian. It's not the Rebbeinu Shlom's Indian. It's my Indian. It's my field. It's a very basic question. It's a very, very basic question. Is there enough community whether your field is owned by an Arab or is not owned by an Arab? So you made this thing and you sold it to an Arab. So now does that remove the afkaita de malka that you went against the Torah, you know, or you tried to bypass the law of the Torah to avoid Shemitah, and you made this deal with an Arab? Does that change the reality of afkaita de malka? If it's a din in the gavra, I do whatever I can. I can make whatever deal I want. If it's a din in the karka of a Jew, who says you're allowed to be mafkia the requirement of Shemitah and to try to bypass the afkaita de malka of a Jewish field in the seventh year? Again, we're going to go into all of these, into all of the pratim of this. But there are many, many nafkimnis that touch upon the reality that we're living in Tavshin Ayin Hay and involves millions and tens of millions of shkolim, of dollars, of people's livelihoods, their entire lives depend upon this chakira of how do we define the requirement of tishmitena unetashta? What does it mean? What does it mean? Is it a din in the person or is it a din in the field? So let's go back to the mitzvah of the Torah to try to understand this. So the Torah says vahashvis tishmitena unetashta. Now the Gemara, you don't have this in front of you, but the Gemara is in Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. At the end of the Omud, Lamaches Amud Beis. The Gemara there is talking about the Nechosim of a Shovwi. God forbid a Jew is taken prisoner someplace. According to the Torah, it's a very big mitzvah that if there's a Jew who is taken away by the Goyim, not to let his field sit like that. But it's a big mitzvah for the Chevra to go and to tend to his field, to keep things going, to help the field. And there are many halachas, what do you do with the fruit, what do you do with the family, and so on. But the Gemara is talking about the karka of a shavui, and the most basic requirement of the community is to guard the field until the bailim are able to get out of jail, right? Able to get away from the goyim. Is to at least to guard the place, to guard the field. That's the minimum requirement of the community, of the Chevra and Bezdin and so on, to guard the person's property. He's a shovel, he can't take care of it. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. And by way of dealing with this question of the Nechosim of the Shavui, the Gemara makes a chilik between two words in Hebrew. The first we're familiar with, Netisha, Vahashviz Tishmetana Unetashta, Netisha, Hefker, abandonment, and a similar word with a resh, ritisha, Natisha and Ratisha. And the Gemara asks as follows. I didn't fudge, but listen carefully. Maishna hanach de karlu natushim. The nichsei, the nechosim of the shavui, are called natushim. There's no one to take care of it. It's called natushim. It's hefker. It's left hefker. Umaishna hani de karlu ritushim. There's another pasuk in Tanakh where we find the word ritushim. So the Gemara makes a chiluk between nitushim and ritushim. The Gemara says as follows: Ma'ishna hanach dekarlu nitushim, ma'ishna hani dekarlu ritushim. Nitushim is the bal karchan. The Gemara says nitushim means when something is taken from you, is taken from you. Not that you agree. It's taken from you. Netushim means you might not rather have this happen, but it's taken from you. And the Gemara says, Afkaita demalka. Then when it says, Vahashviz tishmetena unatashta, the Gemara there says, I'm not going to go to the whole thing, Nichse hashavui. It's not important. The definition of unatashta is netisha implies you'd rather this not happen. Like, and it brings the pasuk from Shemitah. Vahashvi is tishmetena unatashta. Netisha means balkarchach, that you'd rather, even if you'd rather not, you'd rather not be taken from you. The Gemara says afkaita de malka. The Gemara is telling us that by Shemitah, afkaita de malka. Ritushim, again, it's a pasuk in Hosea. We're not going into ritushim. The midaita and the chsiv emal bonim ritosha. Ritisha means when something is intentionally neglected, intentionally ignored. So the Gemara is telling us that the nechasim of the shavui, he didn't want this to happen. He's not mafkir. It happened against his will. What's he supposed to do? He was taken away, and now it looks like it's hefker. So the word netisha, what's important for us here is not ritisha. What's important is that the Gemara makes a chiluk between these two terms, and is telling us that when, as a raya, that netisha, that netisha means when something is taken away from you against your will, where there's a hefkeris and you're protesting the hefkeris. Like Hilo Yitosh Hashem Amo, we don't want Hashem to abandon us, and we're asking Him not to abandon us. So the Gemara understands that when it says by Shemitah, Vashviyas Tishmetenu Unatashta, the Gemara understands that the chiyuv of netisha is not, means regardless of what your feelings or your thoughts are. We don't care about your bechira. The meaning of netisha is, by definition, afkaita demalka, bal korchacha. Hashem is the one who's taking it away from you. You could be protesting, you could be complaining. The hafkar of Shemitah is hafkar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Melech Malchei Melochim. The person is commanded to be machni himself to say, okay, what am I supposed to do? Rabbi Shalom, it's yours. I don't have to be happy. You don't have to be thrilled about this. It's going to cost you whatever, a lot of money. Netisha, the Gemara is telling us here, in Bavim Tzila HaMechesam HaBeis, the Gemara is telling us that the definition of netisha is bal karchach. Now, you could be very happy or big tzaddik, but the point is, even if you are protesting, the Gemara is making it clear. Unatashta means afkaita demalka. We don't care what you're thinking. You might be very much against this. The hefkerus of the field is something that takes place by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's mafkia, the bailus of the field. This is the strongest raya that the Achronim bring, that Shemitah is afkaita demalka. Now, there's another side to all of this. But this is the strongest raya, that Shemitah is afkaita de malka, because the Gemara understands netisha means even bal karchach, even against your will. Even against your will. That means it's not left up to the individual. It's not a matter of what you think. That's the mitzias that objectively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking it.
Maybe. So what's the difference if it's owned by a Jew or not?
Okay, so we're going to get to that. We're not there yet. But This is the simple pshat in the Gemara, that it's afkaita de malka. Netisha means afkaita de malka. Yeah, Moshe.
In the absence of, you know, of an operating Sanhedrin or Beis Din, you can still stand even if the afkaita de malka.
Yeah, physically.
You get shotgun, it's not an afkaita. I mean,
yeah, you could also stop the Baal Tekeah from blowing.
Right.
Yeah, if you can stand there with a gun and you say, if you blow that thing, I'm going to kill you. You could do that. But that's, okay, say it. But the mitzvah is, this is the definition, this is the nature of the mitzvah.
No, but in terms of onesh, I'm saying.
So yeah.
The person, if it's of kind of the malka and he's standing there with a shotgun, it's what's the onesh legabe if it's not of kind of the malka, but he's supposed to be doing, he has a mitzvah, you know, he's a positive, he has an asset that he's supposed to be being mafka his field, he's not doing it.
And so he's saying, I am refusing to comply.
In either case,
I am not complying.
From an onish perspective.
Oh, as far as onish is concerned, we're talking about a bittul asay. We're talking about he's being mevatel an asay. We're not talking about a punishment. He's being, maybe shamayah, but he's mevatel an asay.
In both cases?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not one of the nafkim, is the punishment.
Okay.
He's mevatel an asay. But this term, of kaita de malka, is actually found three times in Shas. It's found three times in the Gemara of Kaita de Malka, twice in the context of Shemitah, and once by Yovel. Twice by Shemitah, and once by Yovel. The definition of Kaita de Malka is that the Hafkar, the word Hafkar means transferring of Bailus, right? Transferring of Schusim, of ownership. That Afkaita is demalka, is biyad Hashem. Afkaita is demalka. The Chassam Sofer in his Chedushim and the Darm, and Daf Mem Gimel explains that every single piece of the universe, of the galaxy, of all worlds, belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an Oitzah HaMelech. It's an Oitzah HaMelech. We have to think the way that a Jew is supposed to look at reality. The Chassam Sofer says, everything is Oitzah HaMelech. Like when we have, was brought up before, what about when Binyan Benish asked about the Bezen. So, yes, you have a concept in Halacha called Hefker Bezen Hefker. We have the term which we're going to talk about, Oitzah Bezen, when you have to, even though physically this might be at my address, but I'm not in charge of it. It's Oitzah Bezen, it belongs to Bezen. It belongs to Bezen. So the Chassam Sofer explains, we know that according to Halacha, one of the laws of the one of the schusim of the king, one of the halachas and hilchas malachim, one of the laws of the king, is that the king has the right to be mafkia rechush. He has the right to transfer ownership. The king has the right to do that. He has the right to do that. La'asoyis ketoiv be'enov. That's one of the rights of the king. So the Chassam Sofer says that when the Torah tells us in Parshas Bahar, "V'shav Sahaaretz Shabbos Lashem," it's reminding us that the Baruch Shalom is Melech Al Kol Haaretz, that the Baruch Shalom is Melech Al Kol Haaretz, and therefore the person of Bal Karcho is Chayev Lintosh. He is Chayev Lintosh Lishmot to hold himself back. The pears, the fruits, the produce of Shvius, the produce of Shvius, are mufkoim ayidei hamelech. They're mufkoim ayidei hamelech. And the king has the complete right, the melech malch emlochem, the Chassam Sofer explains, has the complete right to declare all fields kadosh, holy, bekedushas Shvius, which means they're potter from Trumas Amayis, and which means that if somebody steals something, he's potter. That the Melech Malch Emlochem, the king, of Kaita de Malka means that the king is makdish everything be kedushas shviz. As far as the person is concerned, mitzido, as far as the person is concerned, his responsibility is to just respectfully stand back and say, yes, your majesty. That's the entire mitzvah of Shemitah, to say, yes, your majesty. This is also by Yovel. When the... Huh?
To unlock the door.
Yeah, to unlock the door. This is also by Yovel. The return of fields and property to the Bailam, the Gemara calls Afkaita de Malka. Because by Yovel, Hashem announces, Ki li ha'aretz, ki gerim v'soyshavim atem imadi. Ki li ha'aretz. Hashem says, Rabbi, every Yovel, it's a strong reminder, the truth is it's always mine. But on Yovel, I'm giving you a very strong reminder, Ki li ha'aretz. The world belongs to me. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Specifically, it's mine. And ki gerim v'sayshavim atamimadi. You're temporary dwellers over here. And therefore, everything goes back to the original owner, by Yovel. Everything goes back. It's called Afkaita. The Malkus is taken away from the Bailam. The Loshon of the Ritva in Bav Metzia Ayin Tes is as follows. V'taima mishum di Yovel Afkaita de Malkahu mishum ki li ha'aretz. It's Afkaita de Malka mishum, because why? Ki li ha'aretz. That means, bein b'shviz, whether it's Shemitah, or whether it's Yovel, all the mitzvah Shemitah means is that Hashem is Toveya, just like He tells us, you better put on tefillin today, you better not be Machal Shabbos. The Baruch Shalom is saying, this anyway is happening, this belongs to me. All I'm telling you is to be careful to listen to the Tzav HaMelech, to the commandment of the king, unlock your gate. But if you don't unlock it, it's still Kaddush, B'Kaddusha Shviyas. The field is Kaddush, B'Kaddusha Shviyas. And if someone climbs over the fence, and takes something, he's not a ganav. As far as Trumas HaMaisis is concerned, what's Trumas HaMaisis? The field is Kaddush, B'Kaddusha Shviyas. There's no din of Trumas HaMaisis, B'Kaddusha Shviyas. All the mitzvah of Shemitah is, be a good boy. Unlock the door. Zo. Smile and have emunah and bitachon that this is 1 year out of seven, or the Yovel, where your job is just to take it easy, relax, sit and learn, and take your wife on a vacation. And just let it be. Let it happen. It's happening anyway. Just enjoy the ride. It's nafkaita de malka. That is the basic understanding of nafkaita de malka. How could we learn it that it's akafta de gavra? What does that mean? So, Mitzvah Hashem, the next year we're going to learn. Can I ask you to hold on? I don't know if you have an oitzer where you keep these things. If it's possible to hold on to the Minchas Chinuch, that in Mitzvah Hashem we're going to see next time, to understand how this question of kaita de malka or akafta de gavra would suddenly surface, really suddenly surface by the Beis Yosef and the Mabit in Tzvas. In Tzvas in the 16th century, but Mamish, like, with a fire. It came back to Tzvas. It came up with the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, who actually lived next door to each other. Mamish and Tzvas, they lived next door. Also, Mishpach. The doors were unlocked. Yeah.